All right. Scott Petrick of the Chronicle Telegram follows the Browns. Also, you can go to brownszone.com to find out about it. So it's another, it's a youth move. I thought last year was a youth movement. Didn't we have a lot of young players last year? And that was the reason why we went 1-15?
Well, yeah, I think they were second youngest in the league last year. And now, I mean, the roster's always changing. But over the weekend, they were the youngest team in the league. So, yeah, it's interesting. I just think it makes it, makes life harder on Coach Hugh Jackson. You know, I mean, I understand some of the reasons for the move, and, you know, they're trying to get younger and build something that's sustainable over a long time. But it makes it harder to win in 2017, I think.
So this came about because of the age shift after the cuts. Joe Haden was released since the last time I think we talked, picked up now by the Steelers. And then John Greco, the versatile lineman, who really was filling a lot of holes, also gone. Who are the replacements? Who are the people that they said, these are the ones that are going to take those positions now to help us in the future?
Yeah, on the offensive line, Marcus Martin, who's been in the league, I think, 4 years, is one of the interior backup linemen. You know, they kept Austin Ryder, who can play center. Spencer Drago can play some guard and some tackle. So, you know, they kind of got a couple different guys to try to do what Greco did. And, you know, for Joe Haden, they really like Jamar Taylor, and they really like Breann "Body" Calhoun. And those two guys will probably play the most at cornerback. And then they signed Jason McCourty as a free agent. So he'll be a third guy. The issue is, at a lot of these positions and across the roster, there's just not the depth that a lot of teams have. So if you don't have that depth and then you go and cut two of your better players, then the depth becomes an even greater question. You know, and I understand a lot of these moves. I mean, why pay Joe Haden $11 million this year and $11 million next year if you think he's kind of over the hill? And John Greco is 32, and he's making $3 million. And if you're not going to go to the Super Bowl anyway this year, you know, you can save some money, and you also get to see the younger guys play, and you get a better evaluation of the younger guys. But if you have injuries and you need to call somebody off the bench, the coaching staff, I think you feel better about calling somebody who's had some success in this league. And, you know, I just think, straight up, man for man, they're a better team with Joe Haden and John Greco.
Scott, is there another player you really wished they had hung on to?
Well, you know, I think Brock Osweiler makes this team better as a backup quarterback, and you're already paying him what was $16 million, and now the Broncos are going to pay him the veteran minimum, so the Browns are going to owe him $15,225,000. So, yeah, I think a bunch of factors went into the decision to cut Osweiler when you're already paying him that kind of money. But let's go worst-case scenario, and DeShone Kizer gets hurt week one, which happened to Josh McCown in 2015 and Robert Griffin III in 2016. They get hurt in the opener. Then you either have to play Kevin Hogan or Cody Kessler. And I think your chances go from winning, hey, maybe if DeShone Kizer's pretty good, they could win 5, 6, 7 games this year, to, man, they'd be lucky to win 3 games because these are 2 young quarterbacks with big physical limitations. So that move didn't surprise me. I'm just not sure it was the right move.
What was the reason for picking up Josh Woodrum, adding 4 quarterbacks then to our roster at this point?
Yeah, they want to take a look at him up close and see if he's better than Kessler or Hogan. He's a big, kind of a big guy, 6'3", big arm, can move. And I'll tell you what, Kessler and Hogan are not ideal size. They don't have ideal arms. So this guy has more physical talent than those two guys. The question is, you know, Hugh said they'll probably get rid of one of these guys before the end of the week. So, you know, you get to watch him for 20 snaps in practice. You get to see him throw, 100 passes. You get to see him in a meeting room for 4 days. And then they're going to have to make a decision. Okay, is this guy better than the two guys we've had in our building for more than a year? So it was a weird kind of pickup. And that just, again, speaks to the long-range plan. Because if you were so focused on week one or even 2017, you could have used that position, that roster spot, on a different waiver claim. Or maybe adding a sixth linebacker because they're thin at linebacker. Or another cornerback because they only have four cornerbacks. But, you know, they're always talking about stocking the quarterback position and making it as deep as possible. Well, I guess this speaks to that, and it gives them another young option. But they got four guys, and none of those guys have a win in the NFL.
Scott, do you think they might be trying to move Cody Kessler via trade?
Well, yeah, I do, but who wants him? I mean, that's the thing about a lot of these guys. I think they try. Well, we know they tried to move Joe Hayden. We know they tried to trade Brock Osweiler. I'm pretty sure they tried to trade John Greco. But you have to find somebody willing to take him. And Cody Kessler has a contract that's favorable. You know, he's on his rookie deal. He's a third-round pick, so it's not a lot of money. The problem is Cody Kessler was 0-8 last year, and he looked okay last year. He had a good quarterback rating, didn't throw interceptions. But then, in my opinion, he regressed this season, in the preseason. So if you're another team, you'd have to be in a – I mean, the Browns have a bad quarterback situation, period. You'd have to find another team in a worse quarterback situation. I just don't think they'll be able to find that.
We open up the season. In fact, the schedule makers have given us three of the first four games against our division opponents. So by the time October just gets underway, we'll have played already Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Cincinnati. Kind of a rough start for us, but I mean, what are we looking towards? And the Steelers are, you know, people are putting those people back almost into the Super Bowl, if not into the championship at this time. What can we expect, I guess, for this first month for this young team?
Right. Well, I think we have to talk about DeShone Kizer. You know, that's a tough start for him. And he's a rookie, making his NFL debut, didn't play a ton in college, so there's probably going to be growing pains. And if you're going to see growing pains, those are teams you'll probably see him against. But it's good for the kid, you know, see how he handles it. Let's say he pulls an upset, you know, and then you can start to feel good about, okay, maybe this organization has found their starting quarterback for a long time. Not that you know after 3 or 4 weeks, but you can start to get a good feeling about it. You know, when we watched Philadelphia beat the Browns 2 years ago, you said, or last year, Carson Wentz, this kid can play, you know. So you hope to have the same feeling about DeShone Kizer. As far as the rest of the team, it'll be interesting to see how the defense plays because it played so well in the preseason. And we have new coordinator Greg Williams, and you have number one pick Myles Garrett, and first-round pick Jabril Peppers, and Jamie Collins and Chris Kirksey signed big long-term contracts in the offseason. So can they carry it over, and can they carry it over against a Pittsburgh offense that's as good as maybe anybody in the league with Big Ben and Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant? I mean, there's a ton of weapons on that offense. So you want to see how the defense holds up, and then you want to see if the offense can support the defense at all, because it just feels like the defense is going to play well this year, but the offense isn't going to support it enough and score enough points and stay on the field long enough for the defense not to wear down. That's kind of the big picture that I see for the season.
Scott, one more thing. What do you know about the gentleman they claimed from Seattle, the wide receiver?
Yeah, Kason Williams. You know, you heard a lot of good stuff about him coming out of Seattle, and Richard Sherman, the Pro Bowl cornerback, said, "I can't believe we lost him," or "I don't understand this move," some tweet like that. And then you go look at his stats, and in 2 years he has one catch. But there's video of him in the preseason making really impressive catches, and he can go up, and he's acrobatic in the air. And Hugh Jackson, and it has to be an exaggeration, but he said he goes and gets the ball as well as anyone I've seen do it. Well, I mean, there's a lot of great receivers who played. So that's an exaggeration, but it means Hugh's been impressed with how this guy attacks the ball and can come down with it. So I think with the addition of him and the trade for Sammy Coates from Pittsburgh, the receiving core got better. You just wonder how fast those guys can assimilate, because DeShone Kizer is going to need as much help as he can get from his receiving targets at receiver and tight end. But only having a couple practices with these guys, I'm not sure they'll be up to speed fast enough by week one against Pittsburgh.
Well, maybe a little more incentive for Sammy Coates coming from that team. There's always that, even though they don't maybe talk about it, if you get from your old team, when you go up against them, there's a little bit more juice in your tank, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure the Browns will try to get a matchup on Joe Hayden and see if he can run down the field past him, because he's a speedster and DeShone Kizer can throw the deep ball. So that'll be an interesting matchup to watch.
We'll talk again next week, Scott. We appreciate your time this morning.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Scott Petrick of the Chronicle-Telegram. You can read him in the CT. Also, you can follow him at Scott Petrick or on the brand-new BrownsZone.com site with all sorts of things about the –